Hello, entrepreneurs, dreamers, business owners, and happy people with high hopes. Welcome to Cash Flows with your host, Cash Matthews.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to Cash Flows. I'm your host today, Cash Matthews, and we're glad you're here. This show is about the pursuit of the good life. We talk about business. We talk about legal things, maybe relationships. We talk about health. And we learned something here with a process that we called Fire, Aim, Ready. And that is why it's important to copy off of your neighbor. You know, in the third grade, I was, I don't know if I was good at math or not, but I copied off of Joe Mark Cowden, my neighbor. And my third grade teacher was also my Aunt Dorothy. And I got in trouble for copying off the smart people. And in third grade, that's the wrong thing to do. But in life, it's a great thing to do is find people who've gone down the road in front of you and done the things that you want to do and copy. So today we bring in a friend from the local community. We'll introduce him in a moment. But anyway, we call that the pursuit of the good life. And with that, let me introduce my good friend, Mr. Kenneth Bauckham. Kenneth, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Man, I am bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Well,
I don't know who.
Okay.
I like to use these statements. I'm bushy-tailed.
I didn't notice.
that's very kind of
that
you.
That's true. I want to check.
That's right.
Yeah, all is well over here, man.
Yeah. Just, well, that's
excited
good
about
to hear.
Another edition of the podcast here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think we're on number 76 this morning.
Ooh, so lucky super 76.
Fun.
All right.
Yeah. Super fun getting this thing going, helping out our local entrepreneurs, giving them some helpful advice and tips and ways to help them build their business. And I'm thinking today, maybe you can take us back to the basics a little bit. What are the like four building blocks to help someone build their business?
You know, you and I have talked about this at length, and you know, entrepreneurs come in and they have a thing they want to do, and it's admirable. And you know, whether it's baking pies or selling real estate or becoming an attorney, you know, the entrepreneurial endeavor requires many things. You couldn't list them all, but we've broken them down into four basic building blocks, and you know, and they're all very basic in the way they sound, but they're all very intense in the way they're delivered. And the very first thing you have to be good at is your thing, whatever your thing is. We have Lynn Anderson, an attorney here today. He's a great attorney, but it doesn't mean he's a great businessman, but in fact he is. So you have to be good at your thing. Now, if you're just starting doing what it is you do, maybe there's room for improvement there. But everybody must continually get better at what they do. The second thing you have to be great at is running a business. Now, we might be great at selling property or skincare or nutrition, but if we don't know how to run a business, problems will happen. And that can be from taxes to HR to setting appointments to keeping a schedule, you know, to all the things that it takes to run a business, how to make an appointment over the phone,
yeah,
how to follow up, how to make, you know, just all of the things that are required in running a business. And the third one is part of what the podcast is about. The third one you have to be good at is marketing. You have to let people know you're there. Back in the days when we had Yellow Pages, the number one advertiser was attorneys. Front page, back page, and you go to the attorney section in the Yellow Pages, and, I mean, they were letting people know that they were there. Now, that doesn't exist anymore. This new thing called the internet has come around.
I've heard of that.
I think that's going to take off.
I need to find that.
Yeah, it's out there. So number three is marketing yourself. How do you show up in the world? And the fourth thing, Kenneth, you have to know as an entrepreneur, and I think it's the most often overlooked, is you have to have balance in your life. You know, if you're who's who in business, but who's he at home, that's not a win. You know, if your business is thriving, but on a personal level, you know, you're empty. You know, maybe you haven't pursued your life or your travel or the art that you like to do, or you wanted to write a poem and you never got around to it, you know, those things have to be in equal balance. Now, there are times when an entrepreneur is out of balance. You know, let's say you decide to produce 115 podcasts all in a row. You know, your life might be a little bit out of balance.
It's possible.
But after that, you celebrate your victories, you celebrate your wins, you know, you love on your family, and that embodies the good life. And business is not easy, but being employed by someone else is not easy. So if you have questions on about how to develop your business, you can find me or Kenneth on cashflows@tulsabong.com. I'm not used to saying it yet. New website.
Yeah.
Cashflows@tulsabong.com. And by the time you hear this, that website will be flourishing. It should be flourishing by the end of this day that we do this taping. So those are the four things. Kenneth, thank you for asking. And with that, let's introduce our guest this morning.
Sounds good.
You know, most of us met through this event called the Bong, but today we have one of the original 12 members of the very first Bong who showed up for a reason I don't know, Mr. Lynn Anderson. Lynn, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're very, very glad. And, you know, your support, I was going to say all these years, but these 2 years that we've been up and running, a little bit over 2 years now, has meant the world to us. And you're a valued member of the group. What's your experience been like with the Bong, especially seeing it from almost literal day one?
It's been an exceptional experience. And like you said, from day one, when the first 12 of us showed up and seeing it grow to almost, 6,000 now?
5,800 today and 1,000 daily visitors.
So, it's just absolutely astonishing. Yeah. And it's all due to you and the leadership that you brought to this group and the people that you surrounded yourself with that also was able to grow this community. It's just been absolutely outstanding. And if you're not a member or if you have not heard of it, I highly encourage you to go find us on Facebook, check us out. If you're in the Tulsa area, please join. More than happy to have you. But as you've always said, we need to get to know you first before we get to know what your business is so we know that we can do business with you because we like to do business with people who we like.
No, like, and trust, baby. That's it. And you know, we were very fortunate to meet you, and I don't even recall how you ended up there. And Rob Boyd got you there. And Rob was our Entrepreneur of the Year for the number of people that he just really single-handedly helped us get this off the ground without knowing it.
Rob's an incredible individual.
Yeah. He has been great for our group, and I'm just excited to work with him as well. But we're learning about Lynn Anderson today. Lynn is an attorney and an artist, and through our show, we'll let you know where to find him. On the legal side, you can find him at AndersonPLLC.com. And in a little while, we'll talk about his art career or art passion.
Photography.
Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about that in a minute. So let's let our listeners and viewers know a little bit about Lynn. Tell us about, you know, your family makeup and dogs or cats or hamsters or whatever it is, you know, a normal family guy like you does.
Absolutely. Been married for almost 30 years, coming up here on 30 years. We have two children. One just turned 26 last week. The other one turns 26 this weekend.
All right.
So both are adopted, born 11 days apart.
Wow.
So, yeah, quite the story. We originally tried to have children. We're not able to. It was a good day, but a glorious day because we were able to go into the world of adoption.
Yeah.
And she was pregnant with twins. They passed away, unfortunately. So we went into adoption. First birth parent that we kind of came across after putting our names in everywhere had twins, but they unfortunately passed away. Second birth parent had twins. One passed away. The other one is our first child who was born on January 2nd. All right. And the day he was born, we were contacted that we were supposed to ask if we could have if they wanted another child. We kind of looked at it and said, God says we need to have two. Everything has been two in our life up to that point.
Wow.
We absolutely said yes without hesitation. 11 days later, he's born. We have two absolutely outstanding children.
Wow. And what's their path been?
One works, normal path, high school, all that good stuff. One of them outgrew my smarts, I'd say, probably by the age of three. He's just absolutely extremely intelligent. And he is an engineer working in Wisconsin now, micro robotics, and is doing outstanding. The other one is more mechanic, likes to take things apart. He is working for American Airlines.
Wow. Well, that's beautiful. I my wife and I had issues having children. We eventually were able to, and we went down that adoption path, and it was amazing the feedback we got on both sides from relatives like, oh, you can't adopt them, I'm very passionate about adoption, and I know the guy that formed Wendy's, Dave, was he was an adoptee, and what they've done in the world of adoption, and there are so many people that want to adopt children for whatever reason. We have a Bong member that has 13 children.
Oh, wow.
In fact, I think his show is tomorrow morning at the same time.
That is awesome.
And I think most of those children are adopted.
Well, as I say, if you have 10 or more children, instant ticket to heaven. So there you go.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Anyway, I love the adoption story.
Absolutely.
Having been down the road that you actually completed, I mean, it's a special thing.
It is, very much. We're very blessed to be able to have those children. God put those children into our lives. And like I said, we're just blessed.
Yeah. Very cool.
We also have 6 dogs as well. So they make up for our children left and our dogs came about. So now we have 6 dogs. We closed out the guest room, made it at a dog room, bought a kid's bed, put it in there, loaded it up with pillows and blankets, and that's where the dogs hang out.
They snuggle themselves right in, huh?
Yes, they do.
So that's awesome. 6 on a bed. They're not Siberian huskies then.
They are not. No, they tend to fight for the bed. Some do, some don't. So I think that's we're going to have to get another kid's bed and put it in there as well. But we have lots of pillows, lots of blankets. They absolutely love it. It's so much better than, you know, having them caged or whatever. You know, nothing against crates, nothing against a cage. But having a room to where they can move and they can do what they want to do, it's, you know, it's a blessing to be able to see them, you know, be happy. And that's what it's about. If you're going to have a pet, make sure they're happy.
We have we have 2, and one's a big 78-pound lab.
Oh, wow.
And he now sleeps on the bed. He's very convincing. And I told my wife, like, we're, you know, we have a king-size bed. I'm like, do they make a king-size bunk bed?
One wonders, because at night, before we put them into the room for them to go to bed, they are on our bed. So having 6 dogs, you know, 5-6 dogs up there on the bed cuddling with you makes for a good night.
I don't know. To me, that's the good life right
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
You know, that we're able to do that.
Well, let's smile before you go to sleep.
Every night, man, and my big dog, he's a mess.
Oh yeah,
and I thought he was a full blood lab, but he's a full blood idiot. And, but man, when it's time to go to bed, he gets up there and I don't know, that to me, that's the good stuff.
Yes, very much.
So well, good on you for that, man. We love dog people. Well, no, we're going to talk about what you do for a living, but we're going to talk about what you're passionate about as well. And we've been following you because you have an artistic side and you're a photographer. Can we talk about that just for a moment?
Absolutely. Love my photography.
Well, so I guess that's one of your favorite hobbies.
Yes.
And any, I want to dig into photography for a minute. Any other hobbies that we should mention?
You know, besides the dogs, the wife, family, children, no, just photography. That's basically it.
All right. Well, talk. When did this show up in your life?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
When I finally got, I would say, serious about it, or, you know, when the passion finally kicked in, I mean, I was a typical dad, took photographs of the kids, playing sports, all that stuff as they're growing up. And then I finally, you know, a couple of years ago, probably about 2 years ago, decided, let's see if I can actually do something with this.
Right.
And that's when the creative aspect of it came into play, and I really kind of kicked it into high gear and started doing stuff. And you know, I think I've been in my current office space for, I want to say 7 years, something like that. The walls have been barren. And my office manager finally had enough of it. She saw my photography and we're doing something. So now our walls are completely loaded with all my, you know, photography or, you know, my creations that I do in regards to photography. My philosophy behind photography is very simple. You know, I don't want to just take a photograph. I want to create a photograph.
Right.
I want to create something that is aesthetically pleasing, not only to me, but to anybody else who may see it. We all have different tastes. We all have different likes, but something that, you know, that, you know, is enjoyable to see the hanging up on a wall. And I've been very blessed again to be able to have, you know, something that people like that my office manager really likes, and get a lot of work on hanging on the wall. So it's great. And I've been published on a cover of the Oklahoma Bar Journal. So I was very blessed to have that. I've been on the back cover a couple of times and what they call the back page, where they highlight attorneys in different worlds other than the legal aspect. And offered me an opportunity to be on the cover, and it was just a tremendous experience to be able to take that photograph and be on the cover. And
now your style, you do the pictures I've seen, you know, you'd be downtown at 6 a.m. as the sun's rising up over a building, and those are your shots.
Yeah, I leave the office, you know, take a break from work, go outside to go photograph. Absolutely. So the urban landscape is probably my favorite to do, the buildings and then the sun. And absolutely, sunset, sunrises, you know, always have a camera on me, always, you know, willing to go out and just, you know, if I see something, snap, take it and go.
Is it possible to take a good picture with your phone?
Yes, it is. I mean, I think I shock a lot of people when I go in and say, hey, you know, when I look at different photographs and I look at that one, I say, that one was taken with my iPhone. Wow. They're like, no way. And, you know, yeah, absolutely. You know, it just all depends on the settings you have in the phone, how you use it, how you frame it, and then, again, also post-processing. So.
Okay, and we can see your artwork at lynandersonphotos.com, L-Y-N-N, lynandersonphotos.com. And I know you've entered some competitions. How'd that go for you?
I was absolutely surprised. You know, the first competitions I've entered, I was awarded 7 ribbons from the Tulsa State Fair, and I was this last year. So
wow.
I was overwhelmed by that. You still kind of get emotional about it, but I was overwhelmed by that because as an amateur photographer who had never done anything like that, never been competitive in that aspect, and to be able to be rewarded like that for other people to see it and say, yes, this is something good.
Yeah.
This is something great.
Yeah, that endorsement's powerful.
It very much so. You know, I don't absolutely look for it, but it is nice to have it,
right?
Because it is something that I'm passionate about, and it's something that I like. And not everybody's going to like what I like, but for the fact that they did, yeah, put a smile on my face. That's for sure.
All right. Well, good on you for doing that. And I think as not just men, I think as people, we need to have these outlets. And for some people, it's creative cooking, photography, mm-hmm. whatever, singing. I mean, there's so many wonderful creative people in the world, and that actually goes to our message of fire, aim, ready. Don't go to the grave with the music still in you. And it's about doing the things that you've imagined doing. Had you always imagined doing artwork like this? I mean, I call it artwork, photography work.
No, not really. No, absolutely not. It was something that I've always kind of thought about doing, but never had enough time with children,
right.
family growing up. And then once, you know, the children were in college and I actually had time and found, you know, the time that I was spending with them now was a blank. I needed to fill that blank with a hobby, and along came photography.
Beautiful. I love that story.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kenneth, as a photographer as well, you know,
I'm
sure
I've seen his stuff.
It's absolutely amazing. Story.
I was kicking myself this morning. I was coming over the bridge out of Bixby, and right as the sunrise was coming up over the horizon, I was like, man, it'd be a great time to stop and take a picture right here. But I'm in the middle of a rush hour traffic and on my way to record this podcast session. So I thought, well, I better go do the thing I said I'd do. So
I've upset a few people once or twice by actually stopping and doing that. So, you know, because those sunsets sometimes just don't come along like that. And you do what you need to do. But
I
understand.
All right. Well, lynandersonphotos.com, if you want to take a look at what Lynn's doing. Do you sell your artwork?
Oh, absolutely. Anybody who's interested in purchasing it, absolutely.
Okay. Very cool. Well, we'll have to take a look at that. Well, let's jump into what you do for a living. And give us a little synopsis of who Lynn Anderson, the professional business person, is.
Currently, I'm an attorney located in downtown Tulsa, 320 South Boston. I do personal injury. I'm a plaintiff personal injury attorney.
Right.
Started out my law career as a prosecutor for the state of Oklahoma, and then transitioned into insurance defense so I could learn the plaintiff's side.
Right.
And after working for an incredible individual, an incredible attorney, and learning the ropes as an insurance defense, I transitioned over to plaintiff work where my passion was so that I could start to help people in regards to any injuries or anything that they have that legal needs. So currently, after 30 years, I am where I kind of want to be in regards to being able to help people.
Yeah, and I think it's tragic. Sometimes people don't seek legal help. You know, somebody's been injured, and, you know, one of the things that I've learned just as a business guy is you might have been hurt 5 years ago and thought you were good, but it shows up later. You know, how do you – that's always been a curiosity to me. How do you help somebody with an injury now, and we don't know the long-term impact? Is that recoverable?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no, most of the time is no. As kind of one of our philosophies is if you've been involved in an accident or you've been involved in an injury that's a fault to either of yourself or somebody else, you know, absolutely go to a doctor. Get checked out because you just don't know. A lot of people will say, no, I can tough it out, you know, put some salt on it, move on down the road. You know, that's just not the way we need to be doing things today. If you've been injured, go seek help. Talk to your doctor, and you never know what's going to you know, where that injury may lead. So let's cut it off at the path to begin with and not have to worry about it showing up 5 years later.
Got it. So do you don't battle the insurance industry anymore?
Oh, I do battle them
every single
day. Or you do
battle the insurance. Okay.
Every single day. Yeah.
You know, I've worked in the financial industry, and it's interesting for me to have a love-hate relationship and to see how the insurance industry works. And I'm not here to condemn or accept either thing, but I'm glad the people have the representation.
as an insurance defense attorney, I learned how the insurance companies work internally. And one of the main key things I learned as an insurance defense attorney is that you, whatever you do, you're never going to be able to save them money. They're not interested in that.
Right.
They have different buckets of money that they do different things with, and that's just the way life is with them, and you proceed forward. Knowing that as a plaintiff's attorney, I can proceed forward fighting them, having the insight as an insurance defense attorney to be able to help my clients better.
I think that makes you most uniquely qualified in what you do, because you've been on the receiving side of what you do now.
Yes.
And I think that's a beautiful thing. Good for you for taking care of people. Then did you always want to be an attorney?
Oh, since I was a little kid, absolutely.
Really? Okay, I want to hear this story.
Oh, no. As a little kid, I've always wanted to be an attorney. I had looked up to the tobacco attorneys, looked up to the mafia attorneys, just for the fact that they never lose, then they lost. And so that kind of shattered everything. And it's like, okay, what do I do now? And so, you know, the closest thing to it was, you know, becoming a prosecutor, because, again, it's helping people. People who have been victims of crime, or people who have, you know, broke the law, you know, in my job, and at the bottom or end of the day was to put them in prison if they broke the law, or put them on probation so that they would not do that, or become a, you know, better protective or better person after they have, you know, been through this ordeal or the crime that they committed. Unfortunately, some of the stuff that I did, child abuse, physical, mental, sexual child abuse, those people just belong in prison. Sorry.
Yeah.
And that was my job.
Yeah.
My job was to make sure to get them in prison and put them away as long as possible. And there's only so much of that you can tolerate. And after, you know, about 10 years of it, I said, you know, I've had enough. My children were young at that time. And I said, this is time to transition. I moved over to insurance defense and from there to my own firm in 2011.
Plaintiff injury attorney. Now, what all kinds of, I mean, I know that's car accidents for sure.
Slip falls, trip falls, premises liability, anything that another company or individual did that caused you to be injured.
Right. So that's a pretty wide spectrum then. It's not just car crashes with the Walmart truck.
No, it is not. It is a very wide spectrum. You know, it also can lead into what we call medical malpractice claims, where, you know, a medical professional did something they probably should not have done that caused injury or harm to you.
You know, funny sidebar here. I had some surgery on my arm. I had a badly broken arm, and I had an ortho operate on it, and everything. It was not a major surgery, but it was going to go okay. They were just resetting a bone, and I wake up, and I've got a big cast on, and the surgeon was there, which is not normal when you're waking up from anesthesia, and he's standing over there, and he said, "Hey, can you hear me?" I'm like, yeah, what's going on? He's like, real quick, I dropped a scalpel on you, and we nicked you.
Oh.
I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean? He goes, well, you have 6 stitches. I'm like, oh, well, I've been nicked before shaving. That's maybe like nick plus.
I was about to say, that's not really a nick, but okay.
And he was like, okay, look, I just need to know, are you going to sue me? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. Am I going to live? You know, I've got a cool story for the next 100 years. And he's like, okay, man, I just thought you were going to sue me. And then he leaves, and that was the last I saw of him until I met him in the office a couple of days later.
What a good doctor. I actually kind of like that aspect of standing up and saying, you know, I did something wrong.
Yeah, he said it right there.
And here I am talking to you, because nowadays you just don't see that.
Yeah.
In the medical malpractice, we've seen the transition back to, you know, did a complete 360 where, you know, they started out deny. Then they started, maybe we can, you know, help these claims and maybe, you know, get these claims lower or not have to pay out as much if we start admitting fault. And so we saw a transition to where, like you just explained, where they came in and said they admit fault. Now we're back to denial because the fault didn't work. So.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, what made you want to start your own firm? You said you were working with somebody that you knew and respected.
Absolutely.
And what's the transition like going from, I mean, I'm guessing there's a little more comfort in that. Than going out to start your own firm in an entrepreneurial way.
There's always a nice comfort in having a guaranteed paycheck from an employer who employs you. And it just wasn't doing the things that I thought they should be done or how I wanted to do them.
Right.
And so you have to take that leap of faith. You have to take that jump. You have to believe in yourself and have enough confidence in yourself, knowing that you are not going to do well to start with.
Right.
And that things will not look good to start with. But if you stay with it and you are good at what you do, you will succeed.
Right. And that's block one that we talked about earlier. You have to be good at what you do. And that's how you know you'll succeed. And then you go through those other steps. Lynn, we're going to take a quick studio break here. And here for Mr. Kenneth. Kenneth, who do we have today?
All right, Cash. Today, we're going to talk about all of our amazing sponsors here at the Cash Flows Podcast. This podcast is coming to you from the studio at Elevate Coworking. Our signage is provided by CM Customs, and the show features amazing entrepreneurs from the Tulsa Business Owners Networking Group. We're sponsored by MFP, My Financial Plan, on the web at joinmfp.com, and the show is produced by the audio video experts at Kenneth Bach and Photography. With these sponsors at top of mind, let's return to Cash Flows, already in progress.
All right, we are here with Mr. Len Anderson today, attorney at law. Am I saying that the right way, attorney at law?
That is more than fine.
Okay, very cool. You can find Len Anderson at andersonpllc.com, but he's also an artist and takes photographs that are extraordinary. He's an award-winning photographer now, and you can find him at lenandersonphotos.com if you want to see the other side of him. And we're talking to him about his career as an attorney and how he transitioned away from the safe life. And, you know, a lot of people want to steal second base and keep both feet on first.
Yes, they do. And unfortunately, that's safe. And for a lot of people, that works. And if that works for you and that works for them, by all means, keep, you know, proceeding forward. But for me, I wanted, you know, more. I wanted to start doing it my way. I wanted to start helping people my way. And so in 2011, took that leap. And I have been doing it ever since in my own way, in my own office. And I've had an incredible staff. I've had my office manager. We've been working together for over 20 years.
Wow.
So it's been great. I've been very blessed, very fortunate to be able to do this. I've developed a reputation in the community that I believe is an excellent reputation. I have other firms that will provide, you know, referrals to me for cases they're not able to take. They call me or ask me to take those cases, and I do the same. If I have cases I don't, I refer back to them because they're referring to me. Same way with Bong.
Same way with the Bong Group, right?
Absolutely.
There. Absolutely. Yeah, love one another in life and in business, and
absolutely
both get better.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very cool. So, you know, I'm curious, when you left and started your own firm, how much of that decision was based on what I would call the client experience? You know, you're able to treat the client in a way that you saw fit better than where you were before. How important is, I mean, I guess the right word is customer service, but I know you are a fiduciary to your clients.
Yes.
And you have a legal liability for them. But how do you treat your clients? I mean, what's that like?
That was the main key for me, because without the clients, we would not have our business. We would not have my firm, period. That's just end of the day. That's what it is. And so treating the clients in a better way, making sure that they're comfortable with, you know, the decisions they made, and retaining an attorney to be able to help them, make sure that we are actually helping them, staying in touch with them, seeing how their treatment is going, making sure that they are getting better, making sure that the doctors, physicians, and medical professionals are doing what they're supposed to be doing, and also fighting the insurance, keeping the insurance at bay, the insurance adjusters, keeping them at bay to make sure that they're not harassing our clients, make sure they're not harassing us. It's so that our client does have the time to get the treatment that they need to be able to get better and to heal. And at the end of the day, get them a settlement to put money into their pocket from negligence of another that caused the injury to begin with.
Right. So that's restorative. I mean, a lot of times you can't restore the body part.
Nope.
But you can compensate them for the loss and use and a lifetime of whatever. Okay.
Well, absolutely. As I always tell them, you know, it's not my decision in regards to accepting a settlement. This is their case. They have absolute ultimate control and ultimate say in what they would like to do. I will provide my recommendation. I'll provide my insight as attorney for over 30 years and, you know, try to help them make, you know, the correct decision, provide options and alternatives for them, and let them make the decision.
So what's the best part about this? I know you pretty well at this point, and I feel like I know the answer. For you, what's the best part of all this?
The smile at the end of the day after helping a client.
Yeah.
This, you know, I'm not looking for them to say thank you. I'm not looking for them to do anything other than, you know, me being able to help them. That's what it's about.
Right. I know you've got lots of great stories. Who should come and see you? I mean, at what level does a person say, you know what, I need to call an attorney. I've been damaged, or, you know, these things. At what level should somebody call Len Anderson?
As I tell everybody, and especially at Bong, I don't care what your legal issue is.
Okay.
Give me a call. If I can't help you, I will find somebody that can help you.
Right.
I will find somebody in that industry or that area of the law that can help you. Because me being able to do that for them, that is me helping them find the right path that they need in regards to their legal issue. So I don't care what your legal issue is. I will help you find somebody if I'm not able to help you.
I think that's been one of the things that we've appreciated about our relationship is, I don't know how many phone calls you've taken from the members of our little community here, but I know it's substantial. And sometimes, Kenneth, I think people just need an ear to validate what they're going on, and that'll help put them on the right path. You know, and God bless you for You know, I think a lot of people think that the professional world is all about the money, but when I see you engaging with people for no money and they're taking your time and you're investing time in them, I don't know. I think that's the right way. I think that's the new American ethos, is take care of people first. And Lynn Anderson, you've certainly been doing that in our community.
I greatly appreciate that. I believe, and I'll have to go back and check, but I should have checked before coming on here today, but of all the people I have talked to, of all the people I have helped in Bong, I don't think I've collected a single dollar from them.
Right.
It's just, it's a satisfaction to be able to help somebody.
Right.
And I'm very blessed to be able to be in a position where my firm is to be able to do that. And it's me giving back to the community. It's me helping somebody who needs help.
Yeah, when you sow those seeds of life into our community, takes a little while for them to grow, but they will. And God bless you for all the work you've done with our group, because I hear the calls as well. Hey, this happened, what do I do? And it's neat to see a group of thousands of people all say, call Lynn Anderson.
It is. It's overwhelming, but, you know, absolutely. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you for all you do. So what are, as an attorney, do you have good qualities, bad qualities?
Absolutely. Yeah. Unfortunately, yes. I have an inability to say no to anybody, and I have a bad quality, but the good quality is I have an inability to say no to everybody.
They're one and the same.
Yeah. I cannot say no to somebody. If I can be there to help them,
right,
I'm going to do it. It drives my office manager nuts. She kind of looks at it, and she sees the case intake. She goes, what is this? And, you know, and I'm like, I can't say no. And she goes, well, let me go tell them no. No, we're going to help them.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it may be some kangaroo thing, but whatever it is, we're going to try to find some help. So, you know, best worst case, you know, for me is not be able to say no.
Right. So you're not able to share client experiences. I mean, I love to hear the stories of clients who've been redeemed through professional help. Is there anything you can share with us that's a best client experience?
I think that, kind of a generalization for the best client experience is those who come into the case or come into our firm, who call our firm and ask for help, who have been through a dramatic experience and don't know what to do, and
right,
then guiding them down the path and getting them help. And then when you hand them that check,
right,
and then you see that smile,
right,
that's the world. And that's the world to them, because their life had been interrupted, and their life may have been interrupted for 6 months, may have been interrupted for years.
Right.
And they are looking for any type of validation for that for that interruption. And sometimes, and unfortunately in our business, it's money.
Right.
And that's what it is. And to be able to hand them a check and for them to look at it and smile and say, you have no idea how much this is going to help me. I mean, keeps you warm at night.
Right. So I'm guessing there is a change in the client, the client response at the beginning of a case.
Very much.
And at the end of a case. Walk us through the beginning and the end of a case, what that looks like for somebody.
You know, somebody who comes in and they're obviously hurt, they're injured, they're not feeling well, they're not at their best. They understand that they're irritable. They understand that they're trying to get through this. They want to get through it as quick as possible. The things that they don't want to hear from us that we have to tell them is, unfortunately, this is a very slow process.
Right.
Your body is going to take a while to heal. And they want, they're out for blood at the very beginning. You know, they did this to me. I need, they're out for blood. And to calm them down, and to
right,
get them to relax and explain the process and to get through the process. And at the end of the process, sometimes, at the beginning they say, I'm not in it for the money. But at the end of the day, at the end of the process, yeah, they are.
Right.
Because that is what the validation is. And
right,
that for them, that's what the validation, because they, their life had been interrupted.
Right.
And how do you repay that? In our system, unfortunately, it's money. So.
Right. I mean, that's the medium of exchange. And I think on the front end, a lot of people are like, hey, I just want to make sure this doesn't happen to someone else. But then at the end, it's, hey, is this all I'm getting?
Exactly. Explaining that at the very beginning is, I don't want this to happen to anybody else. You have to say, well, sorry, that's not what we're about.
Yeah,
we're here to help you.
We got to get you paid.
We're going to get you. We got to get you help. We can't help everybody else, but we can help you.
We can help you, yeah.
Yeah,
and
you're right. And sometimes there is that, this is all I'm getting. I'm saying, well, unfortunately, because of the situation, yeah, this is it. So I wish everybody walked away happy, but 90% do. So, but you always have the other factor.
Yeah, well, that's life, or that's
absolutely.
You can't speak to that always. I love that we have a resource in Lynn Anderson. As men, Kenneth,
mm-hmm,
and our chests get all bowed out, and
that's
there's
right,
a situation, and it's like, you'll hear from my attorney. And then we get back in our car and like, dang, I wish I had an attorney. And in Tulsa, we do. His name's Lynn Anderson.
There's two things that I always tell clients at the very beginning. There's a sign that I walk into my office, and every time you walk into my office and you look at behind my desk, there's a sign. It's wood carved. It says, because nice matters.
Right.
And that's to remind me every day that, you know, be nice, because it does go a long ways. On my computer, I have a document opened every day that I look at it that says God and family to remind me why I'm doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But it's also there to help the client to be able to tell them, I understand you're going to hear from an attorney. I understand you want the blood, but we're going to give them the opportunity to do the right thing.
Right.
You always give them the opportunity to do the right thing. When they don't do the right thing, that's when I like to step in and say, guess what? We're going to force them to do the right thing.
Right. Yeah. Give them a chance. Give everybody a chance to be nice.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. We are here with Lynn Anderson, attorney at law and photo expert. I'm trying to come up with a great flowery word there. He's a photo guy.
Photoguy.com.
That's probably a thing. You can find Lynn Anderson at AndersonPLLC.com, and you can look at his photographs or purchase his photographs at LynnAndersonPhotos.com. And Lynn Anderson's one of the original 12, the OGs. I don't know what OG stands for, but somebody said he's one of the OGs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, OGs, what does that stand for? I didn't know. Yeah. Is it like something gangster?
It is. Original gangster, I think.
Yeah. Well, he did want to maybe be a mafia attorney as a kid.
It's related. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe this has come full circle, but Lynn, we're glad you're here. We're going to ask you for a tip for entrepreneurs, a belief, a tip, a golden nugget. And Lynn Anderson, what say you?
I think Steve Harvey says it best. Take the leap. You've got to take the leap. Yeah. You got to have faith and confidence in yourself. And you've got to take that leap. Everything is not going to be sweet. Everything is not going to be good selling. Man. You're going to get beat up. You're going to hit the rocks on the way down when you take that leap. You are going to get banged up. But if you stick with it and you hang in there and you're doing the good work, it is going to pay off. And once it starts paying off, you've got to remember you have a life outside of that job. Take a few moments to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Take a few moments to enjoy some of the finer things in life if you can. But always remember that this job, this career, this path that you have taken, the leap that you have taken, is the reason why you're on the path that you're on. Take that leap.
Beautiful. And we're going to wrap up in a sec, but I do want to ask you one more question.
Yeah.
How do you celebrate wins?
I go home and tell my wife.
That's it?
That is basically it. It is just, you know, the celebration for me is telling my staff what an excellent job they did.
Right.
And going home and to be able to have somebody who's there tell me, or to be able to tell them, you know, I had a great day. This is what happened. And the funny thing about why you bring that up, the funny thing about that is my wife works at an insurance defense firm.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
So I have sued a few of their clients, which makes for interesting dinner talk.
Yeah.
But they are an incredible firm. They are a very high-class firm.
Right.
An exceptional firm here in Tulsa, downtown. So we ride to work together. We'd ride home together. So we spend a lot of time together, which is – you know, again, just very blessed to be able to do that. But sometimes I got to be very careful with what I say to her. But she understands the victory. She understands, you know, what I'm able to do and what I'm able to say to her. But, yeah, I got to be mindful of what she does for a living.
Very well. Well, that, my friends, is the good life right there.
Yeah.
When you can celebrate your wins and move on. Well, let's wrap this up, Kenneth.
Sure, let's do it.
What a great way to start this day.
Yes.
And what a great show. We're with Lynn Anderson, AndersonPLLC.com. If you want to talk to Lynn, he is a very accomplished attorney here in the area, but he's also a photographer, LynnAndersonPhotos.com. If you'd like to go outside and look at your office right now, and if it's just ugly, let's make the change.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Hang some pictures.
All righty. Well, listen, we're going to sign off here. You know what? Today, let's just go be nice to each other. Let's make the right decision for ourselves, our family. And more importantly than that, today would be a great day to forgive somebody who absolutely doesn't deserve it, because that's the essence of our own lives. We've all been forgiven, and it's time to move on. When you forgive somebody, it's not about that person. It is about you and cutting those chains that bind you down and let you move on with freedom. And wouldn't that be great for everybody in the world? And to our friends out there listening, to our sponsors, thank you all so very much. Remember, this show is about you. And we're glad you're here. Thank you for being part of CashFlows.
That's our show for today. Stay tuned for another riveting edition of CashFlows.